Now, back to the Bob Morning Show, brought to you by DJ's Home Services.
Total Country Bob FM.
Oh, I missed the drawer.
I heard that. Well, that happens.
You know, I do that because when I grew up listening to radio, and you're listening to Boone and Erickson or Hines and Berglund, I think the funniest stuff was the stuff off the mic. Somebody
you're
would
right.
be elsewhere in the studio making noise. You know, what are you doing over there? You know, I'm whittling, right. You know, I'm chiseling, I'm doing something, you know. It adds to the imagination of the whole theater of the mind of radio, Neil.
That is so true.
Me throwing stuff into this drawer would not be nearly as funny if you could see it. Right?
Exactly.
It just wouldn't.
Yeah.
And that's the secret.
Right.
And two old sage radio veterans like you and I, we know that.
We know that.
The young people of today, they don't have a clue.
They grew
up on video.
Yes, they did.
They don't
did.
Know how to paint the picture.
You know, it's a lost...
Yeah.
Lost art, and I'm glad, you know what, I'm not happy that I'm 66 years old, but I am happy that I grew up in the time that I did.
It was a great era.
It was a great era.
We are losing our innocence.
Well, for sure.
In this new era.
There's no innocence.
Well, I think Don Henley said it best. He had a song right about the time of the information age beginning. It's the end of the innocence.
Yes.
He had a song.
Very, very timely.
I don't know if that was the projected meaning of that song. I think it's probably maybe more about a relationship or something, but it certainly fits.
It was apropos.
Because there's no end. When Google knows exactly where you are at every time and what you're talking about,
right?
No innocence.
It scares me, actually.
Yeah, it does. It is a little scary. Hey, I want to say hello to Rick and Julie from Monticello. They like listening to the Bob Almanac.
Thank you, Rick and Julie.
And they were having a hard time, or Rick probably was, or maybe it was Julie. I don't remember who texted him. But they were having a hard time finding it on the website, so I gave them just a little bit of direction.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're great. They're awesome.
Thank you, guys.
Bob FM. All right, let's get into today's Bob Almanac, Tuesday, September 24th, 268th day of the year. This date, 1906, our first national monument was Devil's Tower in northeastern Wyoming.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, Devil's Tower. It's what they call a butte, that kind of flattened mountain. I think it's volcanic, and it's flattened. That's called a butte. You've heard of Butte, Montana?
I have.
Of course, this isn't in Montana. It's in northeastern Wyoming. Not far from the South Dakota line.
Okay.
And, of course, Devil's Tower was made famous in what movie? Do you remember? Richard Dreyfuss, potatoes, and then he built one in the middle of his living room.
I don't know that one.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Oh, yes, indeed.
That was Devil's Tower. They were looking for Devil's Tower. That's where the aliens were.
Dun, uh-huh.
dun, dun, dun. You know that old thing.
I do.
All right. So that was this date, 1906.
I pulled up a picture of it just so I could visualize.
Right.
It is flat across the top.
Sure is.
Yeah.
You could probably put a football field up there if it's big
enough.
I think
there was a Johnny Quest episode about Devil's Tower.
Or something very similar to it.
Another was kind
another
of up on
butte
the town.
Somewhere. Yeah. How about in 52?
I'm Colonel Harold Sanders, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about my Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Hey, you two coming?
You go ahead, honey. I want to talk to these folks a little bit longer. Now, I said Kentucky Fried Chicken. There's only one way to cook Colonel Sanders' Kentucky Fried Chicken, and that's my way.
Can you imagine all the grease stains you used to have to get out of that white suit?
Just throw them away and get another
right,
one.
Right, exactly. So... Kentucky Fried Chicken opened its first franchise in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Nice.
On this date, Colonel Harlan Sanders franchises his recipe to friend Pete Harmon. Now, Colonel Sanders wasn't there, but he had franchised out the whole KFC. Of course, Harlan Sanders started in, you know, at some roadside gas station in Kentucky.
Right.
That's where he started it, but then he franchised it out. But then... You know, they got a little too corporate, and they started monkeying with his 11 herbs and spices and his recipe. He went and had some. He didn't like it, so he demanded that he be included back in the whole thing and the planning, and they got back to their roots.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. And don't mess with 11 herbs and spices.
You never should. That was back in 1952. How about 1960?
Admiral, we have found the nuclear vessel.
Well done, Team 2.
And Admiral, it is the Enterprise.
Understood.
And, of course, we're talking about the USS Enterprise as a nuclear vessel. In Star Trek IV, because that was the USS Enterprise. This date, 1966, not the Starship Enterprise.
Right. It was the nuclear, that would come later.
The nuclear-powered aircraft carrier in Newport News, Virginia. At this point in the movie, it was based in San Francisco. And Chekhov and Uhura had to find it because they needed some protons.
Right.
So they could recharge their dilithium crystals. Because they were old Klingon crystals, right. And they didn't really recharge. And during the fission days, nuclear fission, you know what that is?
Yes.
You got your fusion and your fission. Right. It was very important for them to do that. And so they could get their whales.
Huh.
Admiral, there be whales here. We needed that. We need to get the whales. Yes.
But they did find the vessel.
So, Wessel. 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 Did you say Wessel?
Yeah, yes.
Nuclear
Wessel. He pronounces V's with a W.
With a W, yes. Well, it's very Eastern European.
Yes,
it is. Very, very popular. So that was this date, USS Enterprise, the actual Enterprise, first nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, was commissioned and launched this date, 1960. A little bit of a big deal. This is a big deal, too, on television. The Munsters.
Yes, we had the Addams Family jingle last week.
And this is the season one intro, a little bit different, as you can tell. A little more tuba. Can you hear the tuba?
Yes. Talk about more cowbell. Heck, we need more tuba.
And of course, it wasn't Patty Priest playing Marilyn. It was Beverly Owen who played Marilyn.
Just for that first season,
I
think, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, the Munsters on TV, this day, 1964. Another debut and premiere in 77.
Love. It's TV theme time, Jim.
So the Love Boat premiered as a regular series.
Nice. Every Friday night.
They had like three made-for-TV movies. But I don't think any of them had the full cast as we learned and grew to love. I think the first pilot movie didn't have anybody that would be eventually on the
really?
Show. Yes.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. So this is the first hour-long Love Boat.
Murray had transformed off of Tyler Moore and
he was
became Captain Stubing.
Gopher. So the Love Boat, who's singing this song? Jack Jones.
Jack Jones
is singing it, of course.
And Shirley Jones was the wife, right?
No, you're thinking of Jack Cassidy.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Jack Cassidy and Shirley Jones.
Yeah.
But this first episode, listen to this list of guest stars.
Oh, yeah. Charl.
And this isn't all of them. No, Charl wasn't yet on.
Okay.
What was her name on the show? Was it Amy or April or something like that? Yeah, she was on a lot of them later. Bonnie Franklin.
Okay.
Meredith Baxter Burney. Mm-hmm. Suzanne Summers. And the Dynamite Kid himself, Jimmy Walker.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big list.
So, The Love Boat, 1977. 1988 here this date.
Now, I'm a busy man. And I'm guessing you cats are too. But a person of convenience has been abused here. Which one of you gentlefolk hung a number two in my commode? Was it you, sir?
Did you hear what he said? Which one of you fine folk hung a number two in my commode?
Right.
That's James Brown.
No, don't shoot. I ain't gonna shoot nobody, son. It was you, wasn't it?
Okay.
You took a brick in my bathroom, didn't you? Yes, you did.
You took a brick in my bathroom.
Wow.
That's how James Brown addressed the situation. That was in the movie. That's Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, it is?
Chadwick Boseman Who we know, you know later is Pink Panther. I mean, Black Panther.
Black Panther, right.
The Pink Panther would have been a good one. Why not do a combo? Why not have a mashup? Right. You know, a great crossover. It's Inspector Clouseau and the Black Panther. The Pink Panther and the Black Panther ride again. But no, he's playing James Brown in the movie Get On Up.
Wow.
And they are depicting the scene this date when he goes on a two-state car chase because he shot a gun in the office because somebody hung a number two in his commode. On this day, James Brown. The nerve of them.
Oh, sometimes and, when you got to go, you shouldn't go, evidently.
He does bring a shotgun into the room in the adjoining office.
Wow.
And they depict it as though it was an accidental shooting into the ceiling. Mm. It wasn't a warning, according to the movie. And I don't know if Hollywood took any license on that or what, if that was the case. But it was a two-state car chase with James Brown this date.
Wow.
1988. And, of course, the lesson of the story is use your own commode, please.
Mm-hmm.
1988. Same day, exact same day in Seoul.
And it's a fair start. And it is Raymond Kerr with a start. It is Ben Johnson with a start. Can Kerr catch him? No! It's Ben Johnson! Ben Johnson does it again! Unbelievable! 9-7-9!
Carl Lewis could not, I mean, just his expression on his face during the race to watch the roided up Ben Johnson. You remember that, right?
Yes, I do.
Remember he cheated. So Ben Johnson is
a cheater.
He's the Canadian sprinter. Set the world record for the 100 meters in the gold medal race at 9.79. Turned out, he was using performance-enhancing drugs.
Sounds like Charlie Jones on the call.
It certainly was. Same guy you called the miracle at the Met.
Right.
Carl Lewis awarded the gold later. And his world record. I mean, he ran a world record 9.92 and finished second. And there's Ben Johnson practically flying 9.79 here this date. He's now a disgrace. 1991, we need to remember.
Do you like green eggs and ham?
I do not like them, Sam. I am. I do not like green eggs and ham.
He does not like them, Sam, I am.
Dr. Seuss died on this date. You know him best as Theodore Geisel, 87.
I know him best as Dr. Seuss.
Why wouldn't you know him? You know him by his real name.
I do, oh, for sure.
Theodore Geisel. Yeah. Probably should have said, you also know him as.
Yes.
But
no,
usually,
I get it,
You're usually a...
I'm proper.
A real... You call Conway Twitty by his real name.
Right. Harold Jenkins. Right.
And so forth. Engelbert
Rogers. Leonard Sly.
Harold Dorsey. Yeah. Leonard Sly. Right. Yeah, you always throw that out there. Let's move now a year ago.
You brace yourselves, ladies and gentlemen. You might want to just look at the internet for the last time, because when this gets spread around the World Wide Web, the internet's going to break. The rumors apparently are true. Taylor Swift is friends with Travis Kelce and the Kelce family. That was Mama Kelce in the luxury suite at Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, this was the date. Taylor Swift made her first appearance at a Kansas City Chiefs game. And
she's been at a lot of them since.
Yes. And they were more than just friends.
Right.
They were just saying friends at that time, but it turned out they were much more than friends. They were dating.
Are they still?
I guess.
Okay.
I think she was just at a game not too long ago.
Okay.
I don't know if she was at the most recent game where the Chiefs almost should have. Well, that was on the road, though, at Atlanta. Should have lost to Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
But they didn't. This particular game was an easy win over the Bears, 41-10, with Taylor Swift in tow. And then that got out of control and out of hand.
Right.
The whole Taylor Swift thing.
Yeah. And it's had a trickle-down effect in many areas.
In which way?
Well, like, all the ladies now that are, they said the influx of ladies playing, like, fantasy football and going to doing the
young kids.
Thing.
Yeah. Really, the NFL, kids. It's almost seemed manufactured because the NFL trying to get to a younger demographic.
Right.
You get Taylor Swift on your side, that might help.
That'll help.
It was very nice of Travis Kelce to do that. To help the NFL. Speaking of the NFL, we have a birthday today.
Want my Coke? It's okay, you can have it.
No, no.
Really, you can have it.
Okay.
The one and only Mean Joe Green. Heck of a defensive lineman.
Part of the steel curtain.
Makes me feel nice around.
The white, white.
Yeah, but you know it eventually got rusty.
Yeah. Hey,
it wasn't the stainless steel curtain.
Thanks, Mean Joe.
Wow. An infamous, yes, very famous, well-known, iconic commercial with Mean Joe Green. And Mean Joe Green, happy birthday today. 78 years old.
Wow, good.
Four-time Super Bowl champ, multiple Pro Bowls, the whole deal. Mm-hmm. And you know what? He originally didn't want that Coke, not because he didn't want to take it from the kid or he didn't like Coke, it's because he saw that the kid had a lip fungus and was a little bit hesitant.
That would deter anybody, I
exactly think. It was an unidentified lip fungus, for that matter. Yeah. But he ended up coming out okay unscathed. So happy birthday to Mean Joe here today.
The episode that changed it all.
Zeus, it's time for you to take your rightful place, ruling the gods of Olympus.
As Hercules considers the life of a god, he remembers his first encounter with immortality.
You know Kevin Sorbo.
He's one of us.
Yeah. Born in Mound.
Hercules meets the power of Olympus.
I need an answer.
He was Hercules of the Hercules, the Legendary Journeys. I think he was a wrestler. Did he go to Minnetonka High School?
I think so. Where yeah, he was? I thought he did.
He's 66. Had he played basketball, you probably would have faced him.
Well, yeah. I wonder, or was he Mound West Tonka, maybe?
It could have been. Yeah. Could have been. I'd have to dig
deeper into
his bio.
Yeah, we are just days apart.
How about that? Kevin Sorbo is 66 here.
When Tula met Ian, she found her man.
I just want to spend a little time with you.
And he found her family.
No one in my family has ever gone out with a non-Greek before.
Oh! A respectful boy would come here and ask for my permission.
May I please date your daughter?
No!
My big fat
movie
Greek.
Trailer time.
Yes, my big fat Greek wedding. She was Tula. Main
funny
character,
movie.
Really.
It's a very good movie.
Yeah. Nia Vardalos is 62 today, and they've gone on to make a couple of different ones. I think they did a one and a two, maybe a three. And
right.
Who knows? And we got one more Pitch Perfect one. Didn't we have one just yesterday?
Yeah, yes.
We had, what's his name? Atkins, Aston, Taylor Aston, I think. This is another guy who's pretty funny.
Look, just so you know, I'm not a total nerd. I also happen to be super into close-up magic.
Dude, that's awesome. How long was that little guy in there?
Several days.
I'm not a nerd because I'm also into close-up magic.
Right.
Which means it's right up in your face. But that's the actor Ben Platt from Pitch Perfect, and he was a member of the Troublemakers.
Okay.
That's one of the fun things about the whole a cappella stuff.
What is what?
The names of the groups.
Oh,
Neil.
Yes.
You
for
had
sure.
The Beelzebubs and the Troublemakers, and there are several very, very clever names. And there was a cameo by Jesse, our birthday from yesterday.
Oh, very nice.
Ben Platt is 31 here today.
Okay. That's it?
Yes.
Wow, we had
it's
very...
It's really short. It's not very good.
That is a very short... Well,
low
the gone,
numbers and low quality, to
the
be
The gone
honest.
List, which we never went through, is much better.
And whose fault is that?
F. Scott Fitzgerald was born on this day, gave us the Great Gatsby.
And this?
You don't think the Great Gatsby was lost before he became a magician?
He's a magician?
Yeah, what the hell else could he be? He's the Great Gatsby.
And wasn't he a Minnesota guy, too? No. Wasn't he? No. I can't remember.
F. Scott Fitzgerald, he hung out here.
Maybe that's what it was.
There's the building that he stayed at in St. Paul.
Right. Born on this day, 1896. Konstantin Chernenko, we just like to say his name, the former Soviet leader, born on this day, 1911. I'm not sure who else. I know we're doing Audra Lindley, I would think.
Yes, of course. Yes. Mrs. Roper.
Mm-hmm.
You're not even warm.
course not. I'm cold. I got the chills.
Well, okay, Sandy, but you remember, the minute you get well, we're going out.
Okay, okay, okay. But just get me the aspirin. You want me shivering in bed all night?
Well, at least you'd be moving.
Oh, her and Mr. Roper.
Oh, boy.
It just didn't get any better.
Well, they played off each other pretty well. She was born on this day, 1918. TV theme time, it sounds like.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
There's the guy who called the agony of defeat, the great Jim McKay, award-winning sports commentator for years with ABC. He was at a lot of great sporting events, for sure. Jim McKay, born on this day.
And some tragedies, too.
Yes, for sure.
When you think of Munich. 1921,
yes, absolutely. Puppeteer and voices Jim Henson.
We take you now to Kermit the Frog at the scene of another fast-breaking news story.
Hi-ho, this is Kermit the Frog speaking to you from the scene of the accident, where Mr. Humpty Dumpty is just fallen off of his wall. And to recapitulate that story, you may remember that Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall.
Just genius.
It
those
is.
Those guys at Sesame Street, Children's Television Workshop, just the way they used to teach the kids.
Yep.
You know, making fun of things like Humpty Dumpty and stuff like that, making it relatable. And, of course, the Muppets.
The Muppets. Well, the great Jim Henson was born on this day. What a creative mind and a great voicist. 1936. Married to...
Here's a real coincidence for you. So he was the voice. Of course, he invented the Muppets with Sam and Friends. And
yes.
Invention of the Muppets. He was Kermit the Frog's voice. The guy who took over as Kermit the Frog's voice after the passing of Jim Henson... His birthday is today as well.
Oh.
Steve Whitmire.
That is.
Is 65. He no longer does Kermit, but he was the guy who took over and did it for 26 years.
That is very cool. We'll mention Linda McCartney. She was married to Paul for years, 1941, photographer. Singer Jerry Marsden. Remember Jerry and the Pacemakers?
So fairy, cross the mercy.
I hope you do.
Cause this
is awesome.
The place I love, and here I
just referenced a song the other day. Somebody said they were going to go somewhere and take a ferry across the Mississippi, and I started, just belting out "Ferry Across the Mersey."
Right on. Jerry Marsden was that guy, and he was born on this day, 1942. And I have one more, one of our favorites here, the great Phil Hartman.
You're all talk, Blondie. You want a piece of me? I'm right here.
Don't provoke me, old man.
You don't scare me. I got chunks of guys like you in my stool.
One of my all-time favorites.
I thought you'd like that one.
He was talking to the singer. What's his name?
Well, it's Billy Idol.
Billy Idol,
yes.
Yeah.
But it was right. Sting as Billy Idol.
Billy Idol, right. Yes. Sting was great in that. Nobody did Frank Sinatra any better for me than Phil Hartman, who was a comedic genius. And what a tragedy. His whole being murdered by his wife. Oh, man. Something went off the rails there. Anyway, news radio, Saturday Night Live, many movies. Phil Hartman, 1948. Sadly, they're all gone, but not forgotten.
Would you like to go with a Bob-a-thon that starts with Merle Haggard, Big City? How about That Rock Won't Roll, Restless Heart? Or Ronnie Millsap's I Wouldn't Have Missed It for the World?
Boy, those are all dandies. But might as well leave it with mandatory Merle.
WQPM, Princeton, WLKX, Forest Lake, KDDG, Albany, KDDG, HD1, Albany, St. Cloud, KDGY, Fair.